Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. Today on the podcast, we'll be discussing updates about the state of Binance in Nigeria. We'll also talk about the Nigerian fintech startup that couldn't pay customers money, as it were, and blamed it on not being able to raise funds. We'll also touch on MTN's 2023 financial statement and the reason behind the company's 177.8 billion naira loss. With me in the studio today, as usual, is Bolu and Chim Gozirim. But also joining us in the studio is a distinguished guest, Joseph Olaoluwa, a senior reporter from Tech Cabal. We join us as we delve into all the things we have to discuss today and more. A quick update from CBN's new guidelines for BDC that we discussed last week. Over 4,000 BDC operating licenses have been revoked by the CBN. You can find that news on the website. But quickly, let's move to Binance. Two updates with Binance.
Yeah.
Binance was fined, and then there was something else that it's looking like you can't use Binance as in Nigeria, but it seems that it's false. So Bolu is going to give us a rundown of that before we do a few discussion on it.
All right. So yes, like you said, two things happened. The first thing is Binance was reportedly fined 10 billion naira because you know, they were profiting from what regulators or authorities say describe as illegal transactions. But I mean, the person who said Binance will be fined 10 billion has later come out to say it was just speculation and they were not actually fined by the government. So that's the first thing. The other thing is Binance is stopping Naira services, and this does not mean that Binance will stop working in Nigeria. It just means that you won't be able to use Naira on the platform. Like, there won't be anything like Naira on that platform. So before, so when it comes to using crypto platforms, right, there's usually two things you do. Mm-hmm. So you want to go on ramp or you want to go off ramp. So going on ramp simply means you want to go from fiat, right, which is Naira, into crypto, right? Or you're already into crypto and you need to go back to Naira. So those are the two things you do. So to go on ramp, you usually need to sell, like I have Naira, so I need to buy crypto, right? Mm-hmm. So before, you could do that on Binance. There are a number of ways to do that. You could go on the platform, go to the P2P section, find someone who is willing to sell cryptocurrency, and then give the person your Naira, they give you cryptocurrency. And then you maybe trade or do whatever it is that you want to do. And then you want to go off again, you could do the same thing. Right, so Binance is saying, all right, so you can't do that again, right? You can't also deposit Naira, because before it was possible to deposit Naira on the platform, right? You can't also deposit Naira. You can't also trade, use trading pairs that has NGN, like the Nigerian Naira. So trading pairs are like, oh, if I want to trade Bitcoin, for example, now, so I'll search for the trading pair that has Bitcoin and probably USDT. So I can buy, and that means I can buy Bitcoin with USDT or sell Bitcoin for USDT. So now, so there are also trading pairs where there's Naira and BTC. So you can buy BTC with Naira or sell BTC for Naira. So that's what it simply means. You can't do any of that again now. So
I am curious, is it that it was illegal before? Or Binance is trying to punish us for what Nigeria is doing to them, not like us.
Okay, so that's a very interesting question. So I won't say illegal, right? So when it comes to the crypto space and regulations and what is allowed and what is not allowed, a lot of things are very blurry, right? A lot of things are not clear. But one thing that we are clear on is that in February 2021, the CBN said that banks should not have anything to do with cryptocurrency platforms.
Okay.
This now meant that, because what happened before, right? Going back to that on-ramp and off-ramp, what used to happen was that if I wanted to buy a cryptocurrency, right? Mm-hmm. I probably already have my card, my bank card on a crypto platform. And then I go on that crypto platform and tell them I want to buy Bitcoin worth 100,000 Naira. And then that platform can debit me, right? Debit my bank and then give me crypto. That had to stop after the circular by the CBN.
In 2021.
Yes, in 2021. So that was the... That basically gave birth to peer-to-peer, the B2P we keep talking about, where those platforms now, because they can't interact with you directly, and that's okay, let's bring Chim Gozim and Bulu together so that they can exchange by themselves. Mm-hmm. What we just do is we'll be the middleman, making sure that Chim Gozim doesn't suffer loss, Bulu also does not suffer loss, and then we'll provide the escrow and all those things to make it easier. That was how B2P came to being, right? So it's not after, I mean, in December, CBN told us that, okay, we now allow it. So that basically means that it wasn't illegal, right?
As of December.
Yes, as of December, for Binance to collect Naira from you or help you trade Naira on the platform.
On March 14, 2024, TechPoint Africa will be hosting a workshop for business owners, entrepreneurs, HR professionals, startup founders, and legal and compliance team from any industry. And the focus is to learn the 5 biggest hiring and employment mistakes that can lead to litigation, penalties, and loss of funds. You also learn how to avoid these mistakes. Taking this workshop is startup attorney Omoruyi Edogiawiri. He is the lead partner at E&C Legal. Registering for this workshop will help you learn how to catch loopholes that increase the chances of litigation, teach you how to assess your workforce to know whether it is legally compliant or not, help you spot early signs of an employee that will get you into a legal trouble, and how to make proper documentation that will give you a defense during legal challenges. To register, go to techpoint.africa/workshop/the-employer-and-book. techpoint.africa/workshop/the-employer-and-book. Anyway, so, you know, the thing with fintech platforms or any platform is like to remove as much barrier it is for you to use their platform. But for this case now, for Nigerians to use Binance, is it Binance or
Binance? Binance.
To use it now, there's now more barrier to using them. So what is like the implication of this?
Okay.
The use of that platform in the country.
Okay, so the implications definitely means using Binance now becomes harder, becomes more difficult, because if I wanted to trade on Binance, I could just do everything straight on Binance, put my Naira on Binance, take my crypto out, convert it to Naira, send it to my bank account. But now there's more friction. So what I would need to do now is, outside of those guardrails that Binance created in P2P, right, where I could meet someone and tell that person, oh, sell me Bitcoin, let me give you 20,000 Naira. Now I have to go out, meet somebody on WhatsApp, tell the person to give me Bitcoin worth 20,000 Naira. And then I send them 20,000 Naira and I don't get the BTC, which now opens me up to a lot of scam. So that's one thing. The implications there, that's an implication for users, right? Also an implication for Binance, because, okay, before we talk about the implications for Binance, let's now talk about other platforms. There are other platforms that still have P2P. Right.
The local so, platforms.
No, not local. Many of them are not local platforms. So I don't want to start mentioning names and advertising people, because I've been doing it a lot. So you go on those platforms, there's P2P, you get your P2P. Now you have to you get your BTC, right? Mm-hmm. You meet someone there. Those platforms still provide you like a safe space to like trade.
Okay.
And then you get your Bitcoin. And now it now means that if you want to now trade it, you now have to take it from that platform, send this back again to Binance, and now trade on Binance. And then you trade on Binance. You want to turn it back to Naira. You send the crypto back to those platforms. So that friction now means that instead of me doing that, I'll just do everything on that platform, right? And I will not go to Binance. So Binance could actually be losing customers because of that. So it wasn't as if they even make that much money from peer-to-peer. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they make any money at all. But peer-to-peer made it easier for them to get customers to bring
all that thing.
Exactly, because you could do everything on that platform. But now that I have to start moving between platforms, it makes things easy. Mistakes could happen. I couldn't put a wrong address and I'll lose money. So I'll just stay on that platform, trade, and but
I don't know. Sorry, yeah. Sorry guys for facing Bolu because he's the crypto person here. I don't know. I don't care. No offense. I know it's people's money that I stake here, but does any of you trade crypto?
Not really.
Joseph, you?
No, I don't trade crypto.
Okay, so I'm justified. So Bolu, how are you surviving?
So
you really don't care about his finances.
Not only his finance. So we are doing this because we need to do a story. I mean, talk about things that affect people's livelihood.
You don't care about what affects Bolu's livelihood.
Ne, Bolu is maybe like the me, poster boy for people. Some people's livelihood.
Really?
And some people, yes, that's some people's business.
You should probably bring them here instead of Bolu.
Okay, because Bolu has another source of income, right?
I don't know. I don't. If you like, don't have. If you like, keep on that bridge. I don't.
But
don't
there's
know.
Actually a consequence for Nigeria, okay. Right? Because this could actually have been an opportunity for the country to generate a lot of revenue from crypto. Because, like, if you look at the crypto markets now, there's a lot of trading going on because the market is bullish, right? People are trading a lot. There's a lot happening.
Use the right one that laymen can.
No, laymen understand. Wait, the market is okay. The market is doing great.
It's not Bitcoin. I did. I see you are smiling, Bolu.
No, let's not go there. So
we should not go there.
So I mean, more trades. Binance could actually have been making a lot of more money now because. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to trade, want to make money, not miss out on this.
The volume of P2P.
Yes, right. So it would have been an opportunity for the government to like, oh, there's so much money, like, okay, tax them or do whatever.
But the CBN governor said last week that this money are unaccounted for.
Binance is a centralized exchange, which means people do KYC. Right, very stringent KYC. If you think about it, try and open a Binance account now and see how difficult it will be. It's more difficult than opening OPE. That's how hard it is. They have KYC.
It's not the collection.
They have, so it is not as if you can, if you work with them, you can identify, you can regulate them, identify, okay, which money is going where, who is doing what, how much are they transacting, right? You can easily get this information from them. It's also blockchain. Blockchain is free for anybody to... You can collect my wallet address and you can see everything I'm doing. You can see everything. You can basically see everything Binance is doing on the blockchain, right? So I just think whatever is going on between CBN, Nigeria and the crypto space right now,
they should fix up.
There needs to be a lot of communication going on. And for the best.
I think there are two things to note about like what's happening like in the crypto space. This is the second time it's the same CBN in 2021 that tried to restrict crypto. Same CBN tried to give some regulations, I think as the year was coming to an end, 2023. Yeah. And the same CBN now in less than how many
months?
So in 4 years or in space of 4 years, twice. CBN has tried to restrict crypto. That's on one hand. The other hand is that the problem that we are having with dollar inflows
Binance is not the enemy.
They are not the reason why we are not having as much dollar inflows. Already the situation is a supply problem, and like all the situations are combined together, like there are macroeconomic problems. There's inflation that is already at like a 3-decade high. There's a currency devaluation that is 70%. And then there's Nigeria as a whole. I mean, we are not producing anything. So, I mean, what is going to bring in those dollars?
The foreign exchange.
Foreign exchange. And Nigeria is not doing so well to bolster its foreign exchange. Mm. So, I mean, trying to restrict cryptocurrency, some people might think that maybe it's an avenue for free dollars, maybe because of the fact that the market is doing well. Mm. But trying to restrict that aspect is not like the only solution. Even what the CBN governor is doing, trying to fight a monetary battle on this monetary side, hoping that the fiscal, and he said it in the CBN MPC meeting, is like we're doing this to make sure that the fiscal side can quickly react, which is insecurities in the country, people cannot farm produce food that we need to eat to fight the inflation. Power. And there's energy issues. There's also the fact that production is low, because if even the basic farming cannot happen, then you can imagine how much will happen in manufacturing. If energy is already high, can imagine how many companies are shut down because they cannot produce power to power manufacturing. And you know, if dollar has devalued, you can imagine how much people are using to import raw materials, because Nigeria doesn't even produce raw materials. So these are some of the problems that the government should be thinking about, rather than promising $10 million inflow,
and kidnapping people,
and rather than
abducting,
trying to, you know, arrest.
What is semantics?
So the thing is, when you think about it, Binance looks like a low-hanging fruit, as we call it.
Low-hanging fruit, call it. It's criminal behavior.
Binance is going through it right now. I think they'll give you $10 billion.
So yeah, we just hope that it gets to a time where things like this, like allowing crypto to have it play, it's like it's here to stay. Whether there's nothing you can do about it.
Find a way
Once the young population in a country have embraced something, to get it out of their hands, it's going to take a long time, if ever it will happen.
Can't get it out of my own hands.
Bolu speaking for other crypto enthusiasts out there.
Last week you were trying to commit yourself. They will pick you up.
So moving forward, still talking about money, a Nigerian fintech startup, which is like a bank, a digital bank for small businesses, has not for a few months now been able to release customers' funds that were deposited on the platform. And news came to fall this week that the reason behind it is because the startup couldn't raise funds. Now, it created a lot of conversation earlier in the week, and I'm like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I know it shouldn't be the ideal that a bank is not allowing, it's not allowing you to take your money. But what's like the specific uniqueness to this particular case? So, Joseph.
Well, I mean the brass situation is tricky, and it's worrisome.
Okay.
This is a fintech that offers business banking services to small businesses. And so what it means is, one, it's holding deposits of, based on the story, around 80
businesses.
So let's just imagine that one business out of the 80 has, say, 10 employees or maybe more. So that's compounding it. That's one. Two, it says that they're having withdrawal delays because of a funding environment. That's also very, very worrisome, because as a bank, one of the major functions is the deposits, right? The money that is being deposited into that bank are customers that are business owned. Like, it's not the bank's money. And we know that sometimes banks, maybe as their normal function, give out loans, do some treasury, do some things.
Is this CRR that they call it?
Cash reserve ratio.
Yeah, so they do some businesses with the money, so they hardly increase how much, they can earn, you get. And then some of them might say, okay, for that you're banking with us, maybe charge some fees, electronic fees, and all kind of fees.
Every time the customers need their money, they should be able to have access to it.
So you can charge your fees, you can do the loan options and all of those other things. But I mean, every time that I need money, I should be able to get the money back. And then these are 80 businesses that are hanging on the thread. And then the reasonable excuse that is given by the CEO of Braz is that, you know, there's a funding winter. It doesn't relate to the problem. But aside from the fact that that's happening, there's also a customer care issue whereby people that are trying to get their money cannot even reach the customer care. And this is a fintech that is without borders. So I don't know where the office is. And so people are held in a limbo. And while that's happening like that as well, then you now have staff cuts. The company announces that it's going to cut staff. We don't know how many it's going to cut. So, I mean, this is a quagmire in three dimensions.
A beautiful piece.
And it's worrisome because it highlights that this is a problem beyond just, I mean, you have staff cuts, you have customer care issues, you can't give customers their money. This is a similar situation we have seen before in the fintech landscape, showing how difficult it is to do business. One of the most important things about Braz is that it shows, if you look at the conversation, it shows how difficult it is to do business as a fintech. I mean,
in Nigeria,
if you look at some of the explanations that the CEO gives, he says that, oh, you need to raise money. Why that excuse is worrisome, people might not believe that because they have right not to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is that he also says that to actually run a fintech is capital intensive in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the takeaways from like what that story like highlights.
So as well. Just like in the previous month where we've been like talking about layoffs and shutdowns, some startups have come to say that they had to shut down because they couldn't raise their next round. And would we be saying that in this particular case of Braz, why I'm asking this is that I need to understand why it stands out. Would you say, okay, let's say the operational expenses for a startup, like the startup has to run and it needs money to operate and mistakenly went to take customers' money to do operation, and at the time the customers need it,
it was not available.
What is like the implication to that? Like, okay, say we can't run. Okay, let's say we cannot run to the optimal. Should we just say customers come and take your money? It's as if I don't understand where we are going to right now. Let's try to find our footing. Probably raise fund. Then we get back in position. Or what will have been the best move in this situation for Braz? Tim Gazim, you.
Okay. I'm trying to understand the question. But maybe what I understand is, what should they have done when they were
struggling?
Okay, so first of all, I think they were, from all the issues they're having, which is following staff, having difficulties with customer withdrawals, points to two things. One is that you're not making enough money. Two,
you're not having difficulty with customer withdrawal. Like, it's a tech issue.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
no money to
so
give
they
them.
Because that is the way it is. Customers are not able to access their funds.
Okay.
So, two problems here. One, you're not making enough money,
mm-hmm.
which suggests that you are actually... Okay, so maybe your business model hasn't yet... It hasn't gotten to the scale where, without you raising external funding...
Can survive.
You can survive. So, I think Braz supports about... I can't remember the exact number. Is that 300 or 3,000 businesses? So what you're probably doing for them, I know they have quite a number of products. They have a payroll feature, which I don't know how much that has taken off, considering that there are really large players in this space.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with fintech is you often have to, if you're not giving out loans, you often have to make your margin, like, okay, so you're taking out, okay, maybe 1%, 0.5% or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Of each transaction that is made.
Yeah.
A business is unlikely to make as many transactions as an average individual. I'm not paying for Uber every day. So
mm-hmm.
I probably make a few large transactions in a month and that's it.
Yeah.
So maybe I think one problem is that they were not making enough money, which is not... Isn't a big deal, really,
mm-hmm.
because anybody can be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But where the problem now is, I have made the deposit, and to the best of my knowledge, Braz is sort of regulated. They acquired a microfinance bank.
And, license.
They acquired the bank.
To get the license.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you are regulated. And There's a reason why you can go to your bank almost any time and ask for your money.
Yeah, and they don't give you. You can scatter the OPs, yeah, even if it's 2K. Well,
you cannot share security to bond you. But yes, there's a reason why you have that confidence. Like, going to the bank, I'll get my money back. You may not know it, but your banks are insured or your deposits are insured. Now, my hope is that the customer deposits were insured, which means that to a very large extent, Brass should be able to fulfill every customer request
for withdrawal.
Because all these customers did not come to you at the same time. They couldn't have possibly come for you
at
the same time.
Yeah, I think they've been having issues like November or so.
Yes, so they couldn't have possibly come to you at the same time. It's virtually impossible for all your customers, except there's something in the environment that makes...
Or they are planning a bank run.
Yeah, and unlike Silicon Valley Bank, where we saw people give instructions, basically telling people to go withdraw their money, we did not hear any instruction of that sort. So you cannot tell me that
they came at the same time,
which now points to a problem in how you're managing your funds. I'm not a banker, but I believe that if I'm serving businesses with technology, I should be able to see when they move the when they move certain amounts of money the most. I should know that, okay, between the 24th and the 30th, or maybe 31st, or
a lot of people transact.
Yeah, you are going to be paying staff salaries. I should also be able to know that, okay, maybe I have a lot of supply chain guys, so at least every 2 weeks or so, or maybe even every 6 weeks, they're making very large transactions to suppliers. I should also be able to know from this data that, okay, there's a certain threshold that my money can never go below.
Yes.
Because you have money for operations.
Yes.
Because of customer deposits. I think the problem here is either they were unaware of how to run a banking institution, because let's face it, this is a bank.
The startup is like 4 years.
Yeah, think about that. You either you did not know how to run a bank, or you made some mistakes somewhere.
Or an oversight.
That's just...
Or maybe a raise was in the offing and it was so close.
I understand.
I don't know
I'm not making a case.
No. Yeah, I know you're not making a case. But you should not... You're a deposit-taking institution. You should never say or... you should never hinge your abilities to fulfill your responsibility to your customers on a raise. You're not a payment facilitator.
Yeah.
If you're a payment facilitator, I can say, okay, no wahala. What the 1.5% you're making isn't enough. Customers are not exactly depositing money with you. It's just I collect money from this person, I give it to this person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plus or minus 3 days, I collect money from you, I give it to this person in a few days. If you're a very terrible payment provider, maybe 1 week, the money has left your account. But this one, someone is giving you money.
When they're saving with you. So what,
there are a few things that banks do. Either they are investing in treasury bills or investing in some kind of instrument that gives them, what are you doing? So maybe I should be asking, do they have a CFO, for example? Because this, do you have a CFO question. Who was... handling your treasury management to ensure that you're not... Because, let's face it, you don't have any excuse, really, to be in that kind of situation. You don't have any excuse.
There's one question we also need to ask. Right. So, I'm sorry to...
Yes, please.
So, the question is, is it possible that Brass can survive this? I'm asking because, one, it's a business that has to do with a lot of trust. And I'm sure that by now,
most of the customers.
Yes, a lot of people not want to trust you, especially. And my own trust, I won't even trust that company again. Because if you tell me that.
It's my money you're dealing with.
Yes, because if I'm depositing money with you and you're telling me the reason why I can't collect my money is because you're not able to raise, I don't think I want anything to do with you ever again. So is it possible that the price comes out? Like, is there a shutdown coming?
Possibly.
Because immediately you can assess your money. What's the next thing you want to do?
Sorry. Maybe I should help them here. If I'm the one, make your tech 40 for the next 3 months. I'm sorry, if your money is there, I'm just giving bad advice. Don't take me serious. Make your tech 40 for the next 3 months so that people are withdrawing their money in batches. Maybe in that time, you repair your reputation. I don't know how long it would take.
It makes it get worse. As long as I can't...
Tell them they were able to get their money in 5 years.
Yeah, no. You convert it to Brass tokens. How did that guy call it?
If we stop this joke. So,
I don't know. That's a laugh. You can convert. You can convert their money to brass tokens. I'm not giving you financial advice. If you like this, nobody should go and say that you are giving them advice. But you can convert their money. But really, can they survive? It is possible. Mm. The major problem with banks is that, yes, they deal with our money, but I think the only currency that they have is just trust. So if you've lost that trust, it's difficult.
But it's not impossible.
But it's not impossible, yes. So maybe what you do
a town hall. And invite.
You know somebody that did town hall and nothing has come out of that town hall today. Names shall not be called, but you will know them. Somebody did town hall, multiple town halls that you could not see nothing from till today. But anyway, I think they can fix their reputation. The story is that they could raise some money the next few weeks. So if you properly communicate to your customers, okay,
this won't happen again.
Maybe even if your CEO has to like go on his personal call with all the 80
businesses
and say, look, we have shall fuck up. We would forgive fix us. It. Forgive us, even if he has to kneel down, because really, this is why
our parents would never want to put big money in fintech, well, because that is the claim they make. Like, I know that these banks, there's nowhere they want to run to.
Yes,
I think this is a masterclass in communication. I think what Brass missed was a masterclass in communication. To just add some context, maybe some people actually forgot last year. Around June, I think Tekaba published it as well. Heritage Bank had issues with funding, with granting this kind of request to Heritage Bank, was having issues with customers' withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, people were worried. Like, people were very worried because, like, some people had gone to the bank to start staging protests. It was actually that bad. People were going to more or less take all their money out. Like, people were complaining. Because I got some personal complaints because I was actually aware of the situation and I was also doing some stories about that. And what the bank really did was it came out and began to issue, its customer care began to work like much more effectively, issued a few statements. At the time, and if I remind us, what they said was that someone stole 49 million from Heritage Bank, right? And that was all over the news everywhere. And then for some reason, the bank began to allow people to
withdraw
their money, but then was also countering it to some communication, like making public communications, making this. And after some time, everything began to subside, everything quelled, and people now use Heritage. You understand? So I think for Brass,
and I think Heritage Bank has a green, so Brass also has green.
I didn't think that deep.
Yeah, no, so they have a very good. I think this is it's always the communication thing, right? Anything you're bringing tech into, you need to be able to open up and communicate with different companies. Anything you are doing, businesses have been in situations, not very terrible situations, and they were able to talk their way out of it, like. Mm. Even after fixing it, I'm not talking about ones that talk their way out of it and still did not fix it. They were able to talk their way out of it and still fix it. So we hope that Brass is able to fix this and the company survives this challenging period. We move from there to the last story we'll be discussing today, because we spend a lot of time, and this is about a big company. We've been talking about startups and crypto and disruption and all. MTN Nigeria recorded its first loss in 6 years in its 2023 financial statement. It says there was a 177.8 billion loss in FX loss, right? And I'm wondering, what is responsible for this loss to start with? Is a big company, like, this is not your first rodeo. You know what's going on?
Well, to be fair, I think that, like, this is MTN is like, it was coming, literally it was coming, and then it just happened. So I don't think that it's a problem of the environment, and I'll explain. If you look at the 9 month results for MTN had a profit dip of 45%, and when you look at that 9 month result, it tells you that we had inflation concerns, we had currency devaluation. But then they were able to come off with, you know, not a loss, a profit decline of 45%. But now, in at the end of full year, they're now having like a serious loss. And it's from the same thing, from Forex locks. And major part of the Forex loss is the tower cost. According to them, it says the loss, they are financing the towers. They are paying for the towers in dollars. Right? And it's 45 to 50% of like...
They're making money in Naira.
Yeah, so it's so... And they also explained that, you know, when they costed their financial results at 2023, it was 900. I mean, the dollar to Naira was around 900 to one. And then now it has become like 1,000. Yeah, and they keep explaining that the more the dollar continues to, the more the devaluation continues to happen, already at 70% of devaluation, the more they continue to lose money. And then what makes it worse again, I mean, MTN has issues with tower costs. That's ATC and IHS tower disputes. But then it's unfortunate that those tower disputes, paying those tower costs are in dollars. And it's a business that operates in Naira in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on one hand, and then that affects many things. There's energy cost issue. Diesel is already expensive, and powering a tower, we're guessing diesel most likely to power the tower. And you know, MTN is probably one of the networks that have one of the largest coverage in Nigeria.
Yeah,
everywhere
and
you go,
it's gone so far. So for every time that power goes out, diesel comes on. You know, running that cost as well as inflation. And maybe that's why people complain that their tariffs, you know, are not lasting. So these are some like factors around it. And then people that bear the brunt is their shareholders who lose all. It's completely wiped out because the Forex loss is around 740 billion. And it wipes out shareholders' funds. So they don't get to pay final dividend for this year. So if you have your MTN stock.
So their AGM could just dry.
You're expecting...
You just call for AGM like this, it just be like nothing to show.
It's just update. It's just update. Oh, this year we did this, we did that.
So I think we should just move on from the loss and just talk about a few things that went well for MTN in 2023, as reviewed by their financial statements. Was there?
Yeah, there are a few good things. I mean, mobile subscribers have been growing for MTN. I mean, over like 2023, and they are now close to 80 million. They had 79.7 million mobile subscribers. Momo wallet increased 163% to 5.3 million. I dispute that fact because...
Who's using Momo?
That's the question I asked last year when I was doing a story on Momo, wondering who I'm able to use it actively. But then they said that it grew and the fintech revenue grew. But I mean, what's important about the announcement is that they said they're going to move into cloud, IoT, and unified communications. That's in addition to their 4G and 5G businesses.
Interesting. So, they already said they're a tech company.
So, like, we are looking forward to, like, what's cloud, you know, what they're looking... I mean, if you say cloud, meaning this Zoho and cloud issues that we have, I mean, that will not be bad if MTN is provided. People have been clamoring for an African
AWS competitor.
So those are good things to look out for.
So, yeah.
Justin, they're actually very good. They could be in a good position to be that.
Hopefully. So, we are looking forward to what MTN would do in this year. First quarter is almost over, right? So, but we look out for how they are able to diversify their revenue channels. Now, it sounded like a startup move, but to diversify.
Sounded like motivational speaker move. Have 7 streams of income.
Diversify their revenue channels and probably not experience a loss in this year. So that's been it for us today in the studio. We've had a great conversation. You are free to add. In fact, we welcome you to add to this conversation we've had. You can send us an email at podcast@techpoint.africa or drop your comments on any of our social media channel to contribute to any of the points we've made. If you think we made any mistake at any point, please drop your reservation. We will welcome them.
Respectfully, please.
As Jim Gozim said. So, your reservations, your contribution, your feedback are welcome. Please don't forget to share this podcast with your friends, foes, and family, anybody you know is interested in the roundup of tech news in Africa. Although today we discussed Nigeria mostly, but yes, you get what I'm trying to say. And if you want to listen to us on any of our audio platforms, where can they find us, Bolu?
Yes, for our audio listeners, or you want to find us on our audio platforms, you can always find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Radio, or anywhere else you get your podcast.
Yes, that is it. Bulu always comes true.
Sure, sure.
Thank you for joining us once again today on the Tech Mental Cry podcast. Thank you, Joseph, for joining us. It was lovely having you here. Thanks for being great. And Volu and Chingozirim, so that I did not say I did not thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Oluwani Femi, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletters, Tech Point Digest. We have the Modern Workplace newsletter. We have Equity Merchants. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up with all the happenings in different industries. And you can also go to our website techpoint.africa to catch up with all the news we did not talk about today, because we have a lot of them. I need to keep up with them. So go to techpoint.africa to keep up with tech news in Africa. Catch you next week and stay safe. Bye bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.